Well, we are completing a three-part series that we started 2 weeks ago on the Holy Spirit, and I'll be honest, doing a series on the Holy Spirit in 3 weeks is like trying to fit the ocean in a teacup. I mean, it's impossible to do. So we just get a piece, a taste of what this is all about when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Part of the reason we've entered into this conversation over these last few weeks is because I think by everyone's admission, the Holy Spirit is often the forgotten member of the Trinity. We talk least about Him. We maybe know the least about Him, and maybe that's because we're the most afraid of Him. We somehow feel like God can be so distant and far away that we might escape His hand, and so we acknowledge some creator God, but to the extent that He's involved with us, we're not really sure. Maybe He is, like some of the deists believe, just a God, a clockmaker who wound up the creation and set it into motion. So God, we sort of recognize and know Jesus, a historic figure. He existed in time and space, and He taught, and we have His teachings and His words recorded, but that's 2,000 years removed from us. And so when we live our Christian life in acknowledgement of God the Father and God the Son, there is part of us that thinks, well, we can sort of control that. That's the God that we can get our hands around, and we believe that maybe we can have some sort of control over that. But when we start talking about the Holy Spirit, the conversation changes. Because the conversation about the Holy Spirit is not God somewhere else. It's not even God with us, but it's God in us. And it's this idea that there is a force at work inside of us, transforming us, changing us, empowering us, equipping us, calling us, convicting us of sin. And quite honestly, sometimes we'd rather Him leave us alone. Because it gets uncomfortable. And sometimes there's this idea that I don't really want to be changed. And yet the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to transform us and change us. And that's never easy. The change process is never easy or pleasant. Now just think back, if you are older and you've already been through this, just think back to those teenage years and how difficult it was, the transition from a child to being an adult. And there were times when you still wanted to be a kid, and then there were times where you wanted to be an adult, and there were times where you needed to be treated like an adult, and other times where your parents needed to treat you like a child. And it was a painful time, often physically, emotionally, spiritually. And the Holy Spirit at work within us is conforming us to the image of Christ. And if you're just joining us, just to give you sort of a snapshot of the picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, we said a few weeks ago that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God, was present with God in creation, was involved in giving life to the pinnacle of God's creation, which is humanity. That it was the Holy Spirit that was breathed into Adam and brought Adam to life. And man walked in union with God through the power of the Holy Spirit, but sin separated mankind from God. But that didn't keep the Spirit of God from still working. And you see throughout the course of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is being revealed and is at work. And then finally, in the fullness of time, the Bible says, God took on flesh and came to dwell among us. He entered into our brokenness, and He entered into our pain, and He entered into our shame. And He became a servant, even unto death, it says in Philippians chapter 2, that Christ would give His life, and He died, and He rose again. And then as He's talking to the disciples, he says, listen, guys, I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans, that the Holy Spirit will come. I want you to go to the upper room. He's talking to all the people who followed Him. I want you to go to this place in Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there for it. Jesus, excuse me, what are we waiting for? You're waiting for the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, what's that going to look like? You'll know when it happens, Peter. Jesus, just one more question. What's He going to do? You'll know. You'll know. He's going to show you all things. He's going to remind you of everything I've ever told you. Everything's going to be different when the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus, we kind of like things the way they are now. We kind of like it with you here with us. I mean, this whole post-resurrection thing where you're walking through doors is a little strange, but it's okay. At least you're here with us. Listen, guys, it's better for you if I go away so that the Holy Spirit will come. So what do the disciples do? They go to the upper room and they wait. One day, 2 days, three, four. They wait for 40 days. Just waiting. I think to myself, Lord, thank you that you came 2,000 years ago when people would wait for 40 days. Because none of us would have waited that long. I doubt any of us would have waited 4 days. I mean, we're such an instant gratification culture, but they waited faithfully for 40 days, and then the Holy Spirit shows up, and everything is radically changed. And the thing that is most radically changed is that these people who had followed Jesus, they had followed him imperfectly. I mean, at the crucifixion, 11 of them were hiding. It was only Peter who was, or it was only John who was there with Jesus at the crucifixion. The others were all too afraid. They were hiding. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes, and the Bible says it was like a wind that rushed into the room, and like flames of fire that came down and rested over their heads. And suddenly, all these disciples stood up, and they started to preach the gospel, and they were preaching it in languages they didn't even know. Because it was the Feast of Pentecost, and so people from all over the world had come to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. They spoke all these languages, and suddenly the disciples are preaching to them and telling them the story of Jesus, and they're doing it in their own language, and 3,000 people get saved on the same day. Why? Because Peter was such a good preacher? No, because the Holy Spirit showed up and changed everything. Because the Holy Spirit came in and began to do the work that, listen, that he still wants to do in you and in his church today. The Holy Spirit has not changed. He has not diminished in power over the course of the last 2,000 years. He is as powerful and available today as he was in the upper room when he showed up. And the world was forever transformed and changed. And so as we've gone through this, we've tried to just answer some basic questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? And today, maybe I'd answer a question maybe you've been asking for 2 weeks. What difference does it make? Does it really matter? Isn't this just an exercise in theology? Aren't we just talking about some distinct characteristic or presentation or personality of God? And does it really matter that I understand what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? And I will say it absolutely, totally matters. It matters more than you and I can comprehend and understand. Because I'm convinced of this, that as a church, not just this church, but as a church in general in the West, we have so diminished and underplayed the role of the Holy Spirit that the church today is lacking the power that God intends his church to have. And that you as individual believers, if you ignore the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are missing out on the power that God has for you to live the Christian life. Some of you think to yourself, I just can't live like that. I can't be that good. Anybody ever feel that way? I can't live up to all those expectations. I can't share my faith. I don't know what to say. I don't have any gift. I don't know what. I just show up to church every week and hope that somehow my attendance gives me some kind of credit eternally. None of us can live this life. None of us can do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, if we don't acknowledge his presence, then we are missing out on what God intended for us in the way he wants to transform us and change us into the image of his son. You see, you can never become like Jesus on your own. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care how many good works you do. You do not have the power on your own to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It is only by the work of the Holy Spirit in you that you can be transformed and changed from something that you are not into something that you are becoming. So I want to talk about just a few things as we wrap this up. I want to share with you just a few perspectives, a change of perspective that I'm praying that we have it. And honestly, I'll tell you, this is really a change of perspective that I've had to adopt. As I've been studying and reading over the last several weeks, I've realized I need a biblical change of perspective on the Holy Spirit. And I want you to hear this as well and consider if maybe this is a change of perspective that might impact your life as well. First of all, a change of perspective in the Holy Spirit from last to nearest. From last to nearest. Now you think, what do I mean by that? I'm convinced that part of the reason we have diminished the role of the Holy Spirit in our church and in our lives is because he's listed last in the order of the Trinity. Now, stick with me. You might think this sounds overly simplistic, but just think about this. When we pray, and we pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, or you go to a baptism or communion, he's always listed last. Now, inside of us, there is this part of us that understands that we list things in order of importance, don't we? I mean, so that's typically what we will do. We will list things in the order of the most important to the least important. And so somehow, subconsciously in our mind, I'm convinced that because of that, because it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have sort of put the Holy Spirit last on the list, thinking, well, he is sort of the least important of the Trinity. But let me challenge you to change your perspective from last to nearest. That the progressive revelation of God in time is that he revealed himself first as God the Creator. He was God, he was other, he was holy and distant. You remember the story of Moses? And Moses has this encounter with God, and he's trying to come up with all these excuses why he can't do what God wants him to do. And so he's like, well, I don't even know your name. What's your name? And God says, I am. And Moses says, well, okay, that's kind of a weird name, but all right. Well, I don't even see you, God. Can you show me your glory? And God said, you can't handle my glory. You can't handle that. So God's revealing himself in the Old Testament as this creator God, the Father. But what happens in Bethlehem of Judea, hundreds and thousands of years later, an event that we celebrate as Christmas, God shows up in flesh. He takes on the appearance of a man, and he comes and he lives with us. And we can see. We can see the fullness of God inside of Jesus Christ. John said in his gospel, John chapter 1, verse 14, he said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. We saw it with our eyes. We touched him. We heard him. Emmanuel, God with us. And so at that point forward, the era of the God the Son, the church, as we recognize who Jesus is, as we see who the Messiah is, we recognize that. But listen, after Jesus' resurrection, in John 16, 7, he told his disciples, it's better for you if I go away, so that the Holy Spirit will come. And in the upper room in Acts chapter 2, we have the beginning of the era of the Holy Spirit. And that is where we live today, church. That the Holy Spirit is the manifestation of God who is the closest to us. It's a change of perspective from seeing him as least to seeing him as nearest. How would that change your perspective if you realized God is not distant from you as some faraway creator God? He's not even removed from you in the distance of time and geography 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet in the form of a Jewish carpenter who lived and walked and taught. He's not even that far away from you. That God is present here, now, in you. God has drawn near to you, a perspective that says the Holy Spirit is not last, but he is nearest, and a perspective that moves from promise to fulfillment, from promise to fulfillment. Let me share a couple verses with you and explain what I mean here. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says this, Jesus is speaking, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask him. Now, this implies that they don't yet have him. Jesus is saying, there will come a time, and if you ask, you can have him. But look what happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts 2, 38, Peter preaching that amazing message. Here's what he said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will, what's that word? Receive. It goes from asking to receiving. That the Holy Spirit is not just a promise that is yet to come, but the Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of Jesus' words that says, I will come and dwell with you and in you and empower you. It's not something that is going to happen sometime in the future, but it's already happened. For those of us who have repented of our sins and have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the promise is God comes and dwells in you right then and right there. From last to nearest, from promise to fulfillment, and finally, from least understood to most realized. From least understood to most realized. I love what Billy Graham quotes a friend of his who said this once, I need Jesus Christ for my eternal life, and I need the Holy Spirit for my inner life. That Jesus Christ guarantees us with his death and resurrection eternal life with God forever, but it's the Holy Spirit that comes and takes up residence inside of us and transforms our inner life. That you can be guaranteed eternal life forever and miss the full and abundant life that Jesus promised you by the presence of his Holy Spirit inside of you. See, I'm convinced that some of us, some Christians, live their lives as if they're waiting on God to show up. And they're constantly in a search for God. Maybe they'll find him in a Bible study. Maybe they'll find him in some act of service. Maybe they'll find him in some church. And if I don't find him in that church, I'll change churches and go to another church until I find him. They're constantly living their life as if they're waiting on God to show up. They long for heaven. They long for God's kingdom as if they're isolated from God here and now, as if God is not available to them here. But then there are other Christians, and you know who these are, who understand that God is not just the God of yesterday or the God of tomorrow, but he is the God of right here and right now, and you see it in their lives. They live different lives. There's a strength that they have that can't be explained by their own strength. There's a wisdom that they possess that goes beyond their own learning and their own education. There are gifts that defy human explanation that they have. You know and recognize people like this, and you see them. And it's this idea that we move away from just discounting the Holy Spirit because we can't understand him. We can't get our fingers on him. We can't touch him. But we recognize he can be the most realized manifestation of God. God the Father, God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit is here with us now. So I began to ask myself after I was thinking about this perspective, these three shifts in my own thinking, how can I live according to the Spirit? How can I live as if these changes of perspective actually are impacting me? And the first thing that I thought of was I have to do it moment by moment. Moment by moment by moment by moment. We briefly said last week that one of the things that the Holy Spirit does inside of us is this transforming power, that he's changing us and he's creating something new inside of us. Sometimes when we embrace that idea or we think about that for a while, we may get caught up in this thinking of, well, I wonder what God's will for my life is. Now, I know probably none of you have ever asked that question or struggled with that, but I've struggled with that. Like, what is God, what is your will? Like, what ultimately, just give me a picture of what it is you want me to do, Lord. Tell me what that is. But being obedient to the Spirit is more, listen, being obedient to the Spirit is more important than knowing the will of God. Because it is God's will for you to be obedient to the Spirit. Now stick with me here for just a second. Because sometimes we think, okay, God, now, especially if you're in high school, if you're a student, you're thinking, okay, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Like, what kind of job do you want me to have? Where do you want me to go to school? All that stuff. And that's important. Please don't hear me say it's unimportant. It's very, very important. But do you know what's more important? Is that today, right now, you live your life in obedience to whatever it is you believe the Holy Spirit's calling you to do. Your obedience to the voice of the Holy Spirit right here, right now, is more important than what you think God may want you to do 20 years from now. Adults, the same thing is true for you. Because God is already in the future. God already knows what his will is. And you know what? He's not offering you his will, a picture of his will, for your approval or for your consideration. He's not coming to you and say, okay, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Richard, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do with your life. And 20 years from now, this is what I want to look like. You check that out and get back with me and let me know if that's okay for you. That is not what God is interested in. What God instead is interested in says, listen, you be obedient to my Spirit moment by moment by moment. Because if you're listening to my Spirit in this moment, my Spirit is going to direct you in the way that you should go. And ultimately, if you follow my Spirit moment by moment, each and every day, you will end up at the destination where I intended you to be. Does that make sense? See, here's what I think we do. We exchange obedience to God's will someday in the future for disobedience in the moments of day-to-day living. We think that somehow if I just knew God's will for me in the future and I said, okay, I will do that, then we're free to live our day-to-day lives any way we want to live our day-to-day lives. And I'm trying to tell you, it's a complete opposite perspective. That instead, do the next right thing. That's what we said last week. Do the next right thing that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Let God be God of tomorrow. This is when anxiety and worry from tomorrow creeps in today. Is when you try to play God and figure out what the future holds. Instead of just saying, I'm going to be obedient to your Spirit each and every moment. So here's my agenda today, Lord. It's yours. It's yours. So I'm walking to the store and I'm in a hurry, but I feel the Holy Spirit tug me to speak to that elderly person who's sitting on the bench. Guess what God's will for your life is? To be obedient in that moment. Don't be so focused on what it is you think God may want you to do someday in the future that you're missing what it is he's calling you to do today. This is the difference between Jesus as your Savior and Jesus as your Lord. See, you can have Jesus as your Savior. You can make an intellectual acknowledgement that Jesus died for your sins and God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, and you will be saved. But that does not mean you're living your day-to-day life, moment-by-moment life, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. To do that, you have to live in submission to the Holy Spirit each and every day. And here's some of us are praying this prayer. God, just if you'll just reveal yourself to me, Lord, I just want to see you. I just want to know you. And I would ask you to be very careful about praying that prayer because some of you don't want to know God. Because to know God means that you are going to live your life according to his will every moment, that your will is not your own. See, there's a discomfort in recognizing and acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Because the Holy Spirit comes inside, and it's not just warm and fuzzy. That's what we want to believe. It's all warm and fuzzy. Ooh, there's the Holy Spirit. Feels so good. Because the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit presses up against the rough edges of your character. The Holy Spirit comes in, and he starts cutting away everything inside of you that doesn't resemble Jesus Christ. So be careful what you pray for. Moment by moment to live with the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Holy Spirit. That's a commandment. That's as much a commandment and a word from the Lord as thou shalt not commit adultery and thou shalt not murder. That's really weighed on me these last few weeks. Because I began thinking back, how many times have I quenched the Holy Spirit today? How many times did I just ignore that still small voice? You know, in our series, Beautiful Feet, some of you remember, because you still give me a hard time, about praying for you to have divine distractions. You remember that? Do you really know what I was praying for? I was praying for the Holy Spirit to be at work in and around you and for you to respond to him. That's what I was praying for. Because the Holy Spirit is a divine distraction. From wherever you have your eyes already set, it's the Holy Spirit that's pulling you to something else. So we have to live moment by moment. And then maybe more difficult than that is to walk in the Spirit means we walk with total abandon. Total abandon. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, we've read each of the last 2 weeks, but let me read it to you again. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. Will you say that with me? You are not your own. And just so that you know you're not talking about somebody else, let's make it personal and say, I am not my own. Ready? Go. I am not my own. Read the rest of it as if it's you talking. I was bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Do you know what a difference it would make in every one of our lives if we lived like that? If we truly believed that our body was the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we didn't belong to ourselves, that we had been bought with a price, that your spouse is not your spouse, your kids, they're not your kids, your job is not your job, your house doesn't belong to you, your car doesn't belong to you, your savings account doesn't belong to you. None of these things are yours because even your own body is not yours. You've been bought with a price. The Holy Spirit has come and taken up residence inside of you. I love an illustration that Francis Chan uses when he talks about this. He says, you know, if I were to tell you that the spirit of Larry Bird had come and taken up residence inside of me, and then you and I were to go next door to the gymnasium and play basketball, you'd expect me to play basketball pretty well, wouldn't you? You would. I mean, if we were going in there to play basketball and I were as bad a basketball player as I normally am, you would say the spirit of Larry Bird did not come up and take up residence in Gary Weber. When you walk out into the community and you begin to tell people that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, do they see a difference in your life? Can you look at people around you and say, I see the supernatural power of God at work in them? They are not themselves. Something has changed about them. There has been a transformation that has taken place. See, this is what the world needs to see from the church today. The world needs to see believers who are transformed. And they don't look at, I don't want them to look at you or look at any other Southsider and say, man, they're a great person. I want them to look at you and say, man, they serve a powerful God because I see that God at work inside that person. That total abandonment. That, Lord, everything I have belongs to you. My hands are your hands. I'll do what you tell me to do with my hands. My feet are your feet. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. Here's where it gets really personal. My tongue is your tongue, Lord. Don't let any words come out of my mouth that the Holy Spirit would not direct me to say. My mind is your mind. Help me to have it transformed to the image of Christ, to think, to guard my thoughts. My eyes are your eyes. Lord, I don't want to see anything that would bring dishonor to you. My body is yours. Everything I have belongs to you. Total abandonment. Now, let me address what some of you may be thinking right now. Well, that all sounds great, but I just don't feel the Holy Spirit. I don't feel it. I don't deny that what you're saying might be true, but I just don't feel it. Let me just say something. That the presence of the Holy Spirit is not dependent on how you feel, but it's dependent on the promises of God that He made in His Word. You need to stop trusting how you feel and believe what the Bible says is true. See, how many times in the last week have your feelings lied to you? How many times have you felt something and maybe you acted on that feeling or maybe you didn't act on that feeling, but you found out later when you got all the information that what you were feeling was wrong. It was totally off base. See, too often we want to base everything about our relationship with God on how we feel. Well, I just didn't get any, you know, I just didn't get any chill bumps, and there was we based everything about God on our feelings when our feelings will deceive us time and time again. What you need to base your belief in the Holy Spirit on is the Word of God. And Jesus said that He will come and take up residence inside of you. So let me share with you two reasons why I believe some of us may miss the Holy Spirit at work in us. First of all, maybe you're too comfortable. Maybe you're too comfortable. Why would God present Himself to you as the comforter if you're already living in the lap of comfort? Why would He be your helper when you live your life with such safety and security that you never need any help? See, maybe you don't sense the Holy Spirit at work inside of you because you are too comfortable. When was the last time you attempted something great for God? When was the last time you took a risk and that you knew if God didn't show up, there was no way it was ever going to work? When was the last time as a church, Southside, that we said, you know what? We want to do something, we want to be involved in something so great that if God's Holy Spirit doesn't empower the people to do it, and if God's Holy Spirit doesn't show up, it will fall flat and it will never work apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Instead of saying, what can I do? What can we do that will be successful? Because isn't that how we think? This goes back to why we want to know what God's will is. Because we want to evaluate if it's something we feel like we can do well. If it's something we can succeed in. God, if you'll just tell me what it is, then I'll let you know if I can do that or not. If you feel like God's telling you to do something and you already know you can do it, my guess is it's not God telling you to do it. Because if God calls you to do something, it's going to be something extraordinarily outside of your comfort zone that only He will get the glory for if you engage in that. We miss the Holy Spirit because we're too comfortable. And then I believe we miss the Holy Spirit because we're too distracted. And I think this is a problem today in our world like never before in all of human history. Turn off the electronic devices and listen. Stop the constant noise. Turn the TV off at home. Turn the radio off in the car. Embrace the silence and listen for the still, small voice of God. He may be speaking to you. You're just not listening to him. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 says, "If you call on me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Are you really seeking the Holy Spirit with all your heart? So I just, through the course of these 3 weeks, really been asking myself what my life would look like if I lived it as if God were with me. Because he is. How would your life be different if you lived it as if God were in you? Because if you're a believer, he is. What would Southside Baptist Church look like if every believer lived in total surrender to the Holy Spirit? I mean, the Holy Spirit showed up in the upper room with just a few dozen people, and 3,000 people got saved and the world was turned upside down. What would happen? What would happen if every one of us committed ourselves to say, "I'm going to live moment by moment with total abandon under the authority of the Holy Spirit"? These aren't hypothetical questions. These aren't just random possibilities. This is available to you here, now, right here. I started thinking about ostriches. If you ever watch any kind of animal stuff or nature stuff, I mean, you really find God's got a great sense of humor. I mean, you've got this huge bird with wings, but the bird never flies. I mean, it can run fast, but that's a poor substitution for being able to fly. And then I started thinking about God's design and creation. Then he created this worm that we call a caterpillar that lives its life on the ground, just crawling around, crawling up stalks of milkweed, eating. I mean, a caterpillar probably never sees the sky. I mean, it's so low to the ground. A caterpillar doesn't know what the clouds look like. I mean, a caterpillar lives down among the vegetation of the earth and never rises above it until something happens. One day, the caterpillar's old way of life dies, is buried in the tomb of a cocoon. And then out of that cocoon emerges a new creation with wings, a new creation that is given life, a new creation that is given the ability to fly. What's so amazing about a butterfly is the fact that it's been changed. We don't look at a bird and think, "Wow, that's amazing." But something about a butterfly being brought to life, being given wings, soaring to new heights, seeing things it's never seen before. Listen, when you live your life under the power of the Holy Spirit, it's as if you're transformed from a caterpillar to a butterfly. I wonder if you're willing to spread your wings and fly, to live in total surrender, moment by moment, day by day, in total abandon to the power of the Holy Spirit, and see what he can do in you and through you. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you that you've made available to us the power of your Holy Spirit to give us life, to empower us, to equip us, to gift us, to do what we cannot do on our own. And Lord, we just pray that you'll forgive us. Forgive us for the fact that so often we've lived lives that have just ignored your presence with us, among us, in us. Lord, I pray today for all of us that we will, that we'll spread our wings and that we'll fly. Lord, that we'll live by the power of this Holy Spirit that's available to us right here, right now, today. Lord, for those who are here today, who have yet to experience the life that's found in Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they might hear the words of Peter, repent and believe in the name of Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. We thank you for the gift of yourself. Lord, may we be different. May we go into this world and live in such a way that the world would look at us and see you for the honor and glory of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.